around pinching people that don't have green. I see some of y'all that don't have to get pinched. I'm going to go back there and tell on you. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Sunday school. And it's a beautiful day out. And glad to have y'all this morning. And we've got our normal crowd. And we need to get some more folks out. And I know a lot of our folks are homebound and that kind of thing. So we've got a couple here that's been trying out Sunday school. So make sure you shake their hand. We need more. So what I'm telling you, you're going to have to go steal people from other classes, because we've got this contest going on, you know, here in the springtime and all that kind of thing. So anyway, good morning. Danny, come and get us started, and then we'll start.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you today, and I know some of you's got on green so you don't get pinched, but it's good to see everybody today. And we would like to welcome Dennis and Donna Mann into our class. So they're visiting some classes. They've been here for two or three Sundays in Sunday school. So good to have y'all. Okay. And we've got Phil back there, Stock Slater back there in the back. He's been visiting with us for a couple of Sundays. So Phil, welcome. And everybody else in here looks like regular ones, normal ones, and we welcome you too. So let's just take a quick look at what we're looking for this morning, and we'll give Steve all the time that we can to teach. It's that's what we're here for, is to hear about the Lord. And so this morning at 11 a.m. service, they're going to have a presentation of a plaque in honor of Miss Annis Bernard. And I know most of you know Annis, and she's gone to be with the Lord now. But they will be presenting a plaque to her family. So that will be very nice to be a part of that. Then at 12 o'clock after the morning service, we'll have the newcomers' lunch in the Family Life Center. So if you're one of the more newcomers to our church, please feel free to go over to the Family Life Center and enjoy a lunch. The pastor and his wife will be there. And just enjoy that little bit of time of fellowship and get to know some people. At 7:30 tonight after the evening service, there will be a mission trip to Brazil meeting in the Berean classroom back hallway. And so if you're part of that or planning to be a part of that, don't forget that meeting tonight at 7:30. And also after the church service tonight, they'll have this Kettlelicious popcorn buggy outside, and they'll be doing a little fundraiser for the teens on their ministry trip to England. So that will be an opportunity for maybe you to buy a bag of popcorn and donate just a little bit toward that mission trip. And then we look ahead a little bit on the upcoming events. On Tuesday, March 26th and 28th, there's going to be a church-wide Easter outreach. That's Tuesday night and Thursday night. And folks will be coming out to go and simply hand out cards to the people in the neighborhood, invite them to the Easter service. And talking about the Easter service, there's going to be three services. We'll have a sunrise service here in the courtyard between the churches, chapel and the church. And that will be at 7 a.m. On Easter morning. If it's bad weather, it will be held over in the Family Life Center. And then there will be a 9 a.m. service, which it will include everything that we do in the 11 o'clock service. They'll have the nursery, they'll have preschool and all of that. and the choir will sing, and it'll be just like our 11 o'clock service. There will be no Sunday school at 10, and then we'll have another regular service at 11 a.m., and so you can choose one of the three, whichever one. You come at 7, 9, or 11, and the pastor will be conducting all of those, so welcome you to come to those, okay? The sick folks that we've been praying for so long that's got cancer, I'm not going to call their names off, but remember them in prayer this week. And also, there's other folks that's got the little spring bugs and fever and stuff, and let's pray for them. You know, hopefully they'll get back soon. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll welcome Brother Steve up then, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, for your love for us. God, we thank you so much for the blessings that you bestowed on us. And Lord, it's such a privilege and Lord, such a blessing to be able to get up, come out to church this morning, Lord, and there's so many that are not able to do that. And Lord, we pray for them this morning. They have sickness and ailments that hold them back. And Lord, some of them are shut in. Some of them are permanent. They have things wrong that they can't be here again, Lord, but they can still see things online. They can still see what's going on to church. So they're shut in, but they're not shut out, Lord. And God, we pray for them. Pray that you'll have mercy on their situation. And Lord, we do pray for the services this morning. We pray for Brother Steve as he comes to bring the lesson to us. God, may you touch him, help him, give him that that you want him to say to us. And Lord, also at 11, we pray for our pastor, dear God, that you'll give him also a message that will encourage our hearts. And dear God, give us strength. And Lord, we need that in this day and time that we live in. And Lord, we know that you're here. We know that, God, you're going to take care of your children. So we just ask you, bless this now. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Danny. Thank you very much for that. I want you to, if you've got your Bibles today, I want you to kind of look at this, because you may want to mark a couple things. It's very interesting. In this prayer of the Lord was praying in the garden. And this is the night before the Roman soldiers came and got him. John wrote this in somewhere around 85-90 A.D. So he was either that night when the Lord prayed, these men were with him. And this is the longest prayer in the New Testament from Christ. And he was addressing these men. He was addressing God himself, talking to his Father. He was talking to his Father about us. And that's one of the things that I started looking at. I got to notice, and he would say, thou hast given me these, and thou hast given me this, and thou hast given me that, which is God. His Father had given Christ to do the work that he did, and for the Word and for himself, for the Holy Spirit. All that was going on here in the garden here, preceding the Garden of Gethsemane. It was dark, it was at night, the stillness. I mean, can you see yourself there, John and all of the other disciples? It was in the stillness of the night, open air, very tender circumstances. It's one of those golden moments that we get in life that we have opportunities to communicate with our children and with a friend. God gives us these golden moments from time to time. I've talked about that before. And this was one of Christ's moments here in the New Testament, in this longest prayer recorded with his men. The circumstances with Jesus and the apostles was just, it was a perfect situation. The silence of it all, and can you see Jesus standing there looking up and praying to his Father, because he knew Jesus was about to die. And in the previous chapter to this, he's explaining a lot of that to the disciples. And some of the disciples ask John, they say, can you understand what he's saying? We really don't understand. He's saying he's going to leave, but he's going to come back. They were a little bit confused still at this point. They didn't understand the whole work of God and the whole work of what Christ was doing for mankind. And of course, later on, the disciples, the Holy Spirit comes down and touches them, and all that happens. Then they start understanding. With the help of God, God gave them understanding because the Holy Spirit came down. We are so blessed today from this, and from some of these verses, we'll see what Jesus prayed to give us. He asked God particularly himself. And another thing in here, people talk about the beginning of the world and all this stuff and have all these theories, and it's millions and thousands or whatever. And they don't understand that Christ was at the beginning. And he says that in this verse 2. A lot in here. A lot. Let me get my glasses on. So the circumstances of this prayer in John 17:1, it kind of starts the whole thing. And these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. He's asking God to help him. You remember he says, talks about the cup could pass by him the next. He knew what was coming. And I think Christ, the man part of Christ, was woolen with knowing what was coming. And we see a little bit of that there again right there, saying, you know, that thy Son may also glorify thee. He wanted to glorify God through this whole thing that was getting ready to happen. This is, he is praying about the most important event for mankind that ever was, for the salvation of the world. And verse 2 says, now this verse 1 through 5 is really him praying for himself, talking about himself, talking about God, as thou. When you see thou in this verse, he's talking to God. Has given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life. Give eternal life. How can anybody question the fact about that we have to do anything to get it? Here's another verse that says he gives it to us. It's a gift. Give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me him. It's a little confusing because he's saying, God, thank you for eternal life that you've given me, but also going to give them, or give him. And on he goes on and he says, and this eternal life, that they might know thee only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Again, God did it. Christ has given God the glory. God the Father sent him, that people might know the only one and true God. Of course, we know in those days, in that part of the world, so many people worshiping different gods, this crazy stuff was going on. The Gentiles, and we know the Jews was all hung up on work salvation. They were still worried about what was written in the Old Testament and trying to do works and trying to go to the synagogue and wear this particular clothes and eat this thing and don't do this and don't do that. All the don'ts and do's that they had to do was getting ready to go away. And these young men, these disciples, well, he wasn't young then. We're 80 or 85, 90 years past the cross at this point when John was writing this. The young disciples at that time, a lot of them being devout Jews, didn't quite understand that they didn't have to do anything anymore, that it was a gift, that God had done it all. At the foundations of the world, he'd done it all. And verse 5 says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Can anybody, do you understand what he's saying? Before the world was, he was in heaven and had the glory. Another verse right there that proves that it was before the world. Before the world was God, the Trinity, the three in one. And then we go on here. The next part of this is general pleas and wants to introduce the word and talk about how his petitions for them, for the disciples, for us. And John 17:6 says, "I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou hast given me." God, thou hast given me. Christ is acknowledging that God gave mankind to him. And this was set up at the foundation of the world. Out of the world, given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me. And they have kept thy word. So he's talking about Christians here. He's talking about these disciples. These men got saved, believed the word, believed his word, which is the word now that we have in the Bible, preserved for us forever. Thou givest them me. They were yours, God, but you gave them to me. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. He's saying thank you that they understand a little bit here that you own everything, the universe, the world, the people, the animals, everything. But now they know that you have given them to me. He's looking at himself and thanking God for that. "For I have given unto them the words which thou givest me." We can see that all the things that Jesus did and said up until this point, about 3.5 years of ministry before he died on the cross, it was coming straight from God through him out to others. Is that not an example for us today that are saved, that know Christ, know the Word? He gave them the Word, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Do we believe that God sent him? Yes, we do. Because in this situation, Christ praying to the Father, thanking him for all these things that was set up at the foundations of the world. So all those things, I've said this before, all those things, Christ was amongst men, amongst the disciples, amongst the world at the time. But the Father was talking through him to these. Do you see this connection that I've showed you before? We can do that. We have that power now because he gave it to us. Because if we're hooked up to Christ, to God, saved, believe, know the word, and out to others. That's what he was doing. That's what he was thanking God for. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for there they are thine. So he's praying for them, not for the world, he says, but for them, for us, for the disciples. And all mine are thine. He's turning right back around and giving them back to God. I give you these men. Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Christ is going to be glorified someday in heaven, and we're going to be there, and he's going to tell, and there's other verses and other places in the Bible that he's glorifying God for the saved mankind that's standing around God's glory and his glory. All this he's praying, but if you think about it, it's hard to think about. For me, it's a loop. It's God talking through him back to God, giving himself glory. Think about that. And in the middle of all of this is us. All the glory, all the power, all the word, the promises, the hope of heaven. We've all got loved ones there already. And praise the Lord for what they're seeing. They wouldn't want to come back. They're there in the presence of our Savior and the glory of God. And we're all going to get to see that someday. Someday, it's coming. I was talking to the brother there a while ago. He said, yeah, we used to do this and this. Well, here we are. We're here. We're at this age. Can we say we're next? We could. Next for what? Next to meet Christ? We may meet him in the air, the way the world's going. My, my, what a mess we've got. But it's nothing no more than what God said in Revelations and back in Daniel and the Old Testament and prophets. It's got to go down. It's got to go down before we can go up. And that's a coming at us. And we see it more and more every day. But then all these promises in this prayer, it's powerful. And he says, I am glorified in them. I am so proud. I am so happy. Well, do you say proud? Glorified is just way beyond that. I guess if I wanted to do it in human being, we could say, look at all these people that have trusted the word, God, your word through me out to others, and they've trusted it. I am glorified because of that. And he will be glorified in heaven. He will be. Because he's sitting at the right hand of God right now. He's ready to come back. Remember the lessons that I taught, where the scroll is sitting there right now beside God. The deed to this world, the deed to the nation of Israel to claim what is God gave them in the beginning. He's sitting there, and God's ready. When the last person gets saved, he's going to pick up that scroll, and he's going to say, who's worthy? Who's worthy to take this? And Jesus is going to look over and says, I am worthy. And he takes that scroll and starts opening it up. At that point, he'll come in the clouds, call all of us out, and he will be glorified. He will be glorified for all of us that are saved. All of us. And then he goes on here in 17, 11 through 16, that they might be kept. He's even worrying about us being kept. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thou thy own name, those who hast given me, that they might be one as we are. We are another verse saying that they might be one. We've been told all our lives, we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. We are one. We are in God's family. Another thing that's hard to conceive for our human mind, our minds just go so far, and we can't imagine being part of God's family and the inheritance that Christ is going to share with us in heaven. The glorified Christ is going to share his glory in heaven with us, because God gave us to him. To himself. It's a loop. You start talking about the Trinity, the three in one. The Holy Spirit's fairly easy to understand. He's here to help us. He come alongside of us, lives with us, guides us, convicts us. But then you got God the Father and God the Son here talking back and forth. It's amazing. I can't imagine these disciples sitting there hearing all this. And like I said before, in the previous chapter, you can go back and read in 15 and 15. I think it's in 15. It may be in 16. Where some of the disciples said, we don't understand. How can all this be? Why is he leaving us? We don't want him to leave. He had to leave to save us. Left these friends. These were friends of his. Not only saved ones, but friends. That we may be one. As we are. We, as Christ is one with the Father, when we get to heaven, we'll be that close to Christ. Can you imagine that? That's hard to think about. But praise the Lord. That's what we got to look forward to. That's what we got to look forward to. Praise his high and holy name. Just these words that he said in his prayer. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name, those that thou givest me, those that got saved, I have kept, and none of them is lost. None of them are lost. Another indication that we can't be lost, we're in God's hands, because he's talking about them in the world right there. Those that are saved, none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, referring back to the Old Testament. This is full of so much depth that you could peel off anywhere here and go back and just cross it over in the Old Testament everywhere. This is straight from God's mouth, basically. Christ was God, is God, but he's the Son of God. And now come I to thee. He's speaking about what's getting ready to happen. And these things I speak into the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He wants us to have joy. Do we have joy today? I mean, sometimes the world gets us down, but we ought to have joy knowing that Jesus died on the cross for us. And because of the word I trusted at, I believe that he took my sins away. Think about that. I can get real happy. I can glorify God over this. The truth of it. The truth of it all. What a prayer here. That they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. Sometimes this whole world is in such a shape. I tell you what, it's hard. I watch some of the news in the mornings on a particular channel. It's pitiful. I just have to turn it off sometimes because I just get, it just makes you sick to see what's going on. But then I can read something like this right here and I can get happy real quick. Knowing that God's already taken care of all this business, we don't have to worry. Everybody's going to get theirs that needs to get theirs. And everybody that's trusted Christ, he's saying, I'm praying that they have joy. Be joyful in the world. I have given them the word. And the word was God. And the world hath hated them. Boy, is that not a true statement? There's so many people that are unhappy today, live with a chip on their shoulder. And if they see us happy as Christians, going through the world, yeah, may not have enough money to buy all the groceries, may not have enough money to make a payment, may not this or may not that. And these people that are not saved drive the roads with rage. They don't have the joyful life. The world hated them. Have you run into that? Where somebody, they are just ugly. They're just ugly because they don't have Christ in their life. And sometimes when you try to tell them, they don't want to hear it. I don't need that. I'll get there on my own. Well, buddy, someday they're going to wake up and they're going to stand in front of God and they're going to say, well, I believed and I did this and I did that. And God's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's a sad day right there. Sad day. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. So he's saying these people that hate you because they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. That puts a spiritual twist to this thing, to this prayer. Now, who hates you that's not of this world? The prince and the power of the air and all his demons. Think about that. Is that what that's saying there? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world? Satan hates Christ because of the salvation of the mankind. And I have to think, because it says, because they are not of the world, he has to be speaking of the prince and the power of the atmosphere, the air, this world, which is Satan and his demons, hates us, wants to trip us up every time he can. We're still just flesh. We're still just flesh. That's all we are. We're saved sinners. And Satan wants to trip us up every minute, every time he thinks he can. Even as I am not of the world. So I have to think that world that hate them is the world of the devil that causes people that's not saved to try to trip us up and try to make us mad, try to hurt our feelings, try to make us feel like we're standing alone in this world. Cause you all kinds of this goody and that goody, and you believe the Bible and blah, 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 and on, we can get run down. God don't want that for us. So he's praying right here, because they are not of the world, even as I am of the world. I just have to think that that's a prayer to I have given them the word, which is more powerful than them that are in the world, which is Satan and his bunch. He's given the word. He's given us the word. That is more powerful than anything Satan can do, throw at us. Right there is the answer. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. So he's saying, has God give him an unction saying, do you want me to take them right now out of the world? And he's saying, I pray you don't take them out of the world there, but thou should keep them from evil. So what's he asking? Now remember, at this time, it's prior to the cross. The day he dies on the cross, the curtain in the temple has been torn in half, top to bottom, a sign of the Holy Spirit coming, that they don't need the old Jewish ways, that Christ has paid it all. So here it is. But that thou shouldest keep them from evil. That's the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about above there, talking about Satan in the atmosphere and this world. And then the next sentence he says, keep them from evil. And how does he do that? He gives us the Holy Spirit after he dies on the cross. Oh, we got so much more at the cross than we can think about. There's so much more there than just... And I don't want to minimize his death, burial, and resurrection. But we got so much. And this is just an inkling of what we were going to get, what we are getting. Verse 16, they are not in the world, even as I am not in the world. So, I mean, you can look at that in physical ways, spiritual ways. There's so many ways to study on that right there. And you could really dig in on them few verses right there with some commentaries and things and see and go back and look at the Hebrew and the Greek and some of those words and see exactly what he was saying. I just didn't have time to do all that digging. I'm about done. That they might be sanctified in verse 17 through 19. Sanctify them through the truth of thy word is truth. Straight, good prayer preaching. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. He sent us into the world, folks, not to just sit and soak, but to spread the word. And for their sake, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We get sanctified when we get saved. When we trust Christ, we are sanctified for His glory. And then we could look back at that verse 11 again and talks about the unity that we're going to have. That right there at the end of that verse 11 in 17:11, that thou may be one. We read that a while ago. That thou may be one. We want to be one force going forward for the cause of Christ. And there at the last, that they might be glorified. 17:24-26, it says, the Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. There you are. Praying that God praying through His Son, saying, God, I want them to be with me in heaven. Do you think God answered his prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely He answered his prayer. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. There it is again. Before the foundations of the world, this was done. It was done. God knows everything from the past to the future. There is no timeline. It's forever present in God's presence. That's hard to think about. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What a prayer. So much depth there. If you get time, study that thing and break them verses down. Praise God for what He said right there. Praise His name. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your love, and I thank You for this prayer that You prayed, Lord. So many things, so many promises, how You love us and how You want to keep us and how You want to take us to heaven, how You want to be glorified. All that, God, we give You glory today for Your word that You gave us to fight the evil of this whole world. God, we thank You for that. Thank You for all Your promises. Lord, give us a good day in church. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.